We are calling the meeting to order at 5:31. Judge, you can call attendance.
Thank you. Thank you, Kara, for calling us to order. Amy, are you here? Evan, are you here?
Yeah.
Kara?
I'm here.
This is Greg. I'm here. Sarah is absent, and our colleague Anne would like to participate remotely. She let us know just like a couple hours ago that she has come down with something and she's not feeling totally 100%. So I'd like to make a motion to allow Anne to participate remotely, which means she will need to have her camera on. And okay. In a moment, we're going to ask you to let us know if you have any people who are older than 18 in the room with you. So are there any people older than 18 in the room with you?
No.
Okay, if anyone shows up who's 18 or older, you have to tell us who they are or have them leave.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. So I'm making that motion to allow Anne this opportunity to participate. She can do this up to 3 times per calendar, per fiscal year. Per body. Or like committee or board or whatever it is. Sarah, a second to the motion.
Second.
Thank you, Amy. Any public comment or questions or discussion? All right, then we will call the roll. Amy, how do you vote? Evan, how do you vote?
Yes.
Kara? And I vote yes. And Anne, you vote however you want. How do you want to vote?
Abstain, I guess.
Sounds good. All right, we're good.
Thank you.
Next, we have a review of action and discussion items. Does anyone feel the need to reorder any of the items on the agenda? Okay, not. We'll move on to board and community appreciations. Anyone from the community here?
There are no members of the public on Zoom or in person.
I'd like to appreciate that. I'm so glad he's on the room to hear me right now for making it feel possible to make changes in my own career, knowing that there's somebody highly capable to continue the work.
I want to appreciate Mariana Bissonette for what she's about to get into, probably. Good for Mariana.
I want to appreciate Sarah and Krishna for the work that went into getting the contract ready on the line.
I wanted to appreciate teacher Alex, who just left us from California Poppy, and also Lana Butler for doing an amazing job with the auction.
Appreciate all of the advice for the amazing room full of people we had on Friday night. We had an auction kickoff on Friday night in the Sun Room. I think Lori said there were 300 people in there, which is insane.
It was the most well-attended event since COVID by a long shot.
Some of the stuff before COVID was not as well-attended as that.
We had a move-a-thon maybe right before that was worth it. That was the last big event.
Yeah.
What do you think made it so well-attended?
I don't know. It's a great question.
Yeah.
I think we were all sort of wondering the same thing. I think having a previous game night done by Melody was helpful because people like had a good time of that and had a good word of mouth. But like I think the FAC is doing what they said they were gonna do. That's what made it well attended.
Yeah.
Great.
It's totally off. I mean, we're just off the agenda, but I want to talk about that too. Great. Let's talk more about it there. Totally. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And worth figuring out. I appreciate the question, Amy.
Any other appreciations? To board member Thomason, which just speak to an issue regarding number 6 that this does not pertain to the agenda item. Denied. Yes.
I wanted to make a brief comment that the Finance Committee is going to have to reschedule its April meeting, May meeting, and June meeting.
Great.
Because all three of those have now awful for me. So Anne, heads up on that. I will be communicating to everyone involved. And of course, it'll all get posted on the calendar and everywhere else well ahead of time.
Any other board member comments? Any presentations from the floor on non-agenda items? Still don't have anyone.
Nope.
Okay, so in that case, we will move into closed session. And the plan is to discuss the
public employee performance evaluation, head of school. Yep. And the time is 5:37. So I'm going to pause the recording.
We are coming out of closed session at 5:52 and no actions were taken during closed session.
All right. We're going to move on to the next item, which is the head of school employment contract. We don't get to do this one very often. It's very exciting. And yeah, you're here. This is public session. Nope, it's not weird at all. You're supposed to be here. You're not required to be here, but I'm glad you are. So in a moment, I'm going to make a motion to approve the contract. I just wanted to kind of discuss it and make sure we hit all of our legal requirements on our way to that motion. So first of all, we are doing this at a regularly scheduled meeting of the board of directors, which is the only time you can the board can take action on its chief executive officer's employment. Next, I wanted to be clear that the salary that we're going to be voting on is for an annual salary for the head of school of $164,656.52. Also in the contract, and that the contract would start July 1st, and that between April 1st and June 30th, the contract calls for a transition period where Daniel would be the incoming head of school. With a salary of $141,553.26. So he's not getting paid that much money for that amount, but during that time period, that's his annual rate. And that we came to these numbers based on the recent work that the staff and we all had done with Agility around the comprehensive salary analysis. And that the, since the school is not moving forward with its implementing it in full, which would have called for a raise of 15% for Daniel going into next year, instead we are not doing that with this contract as well. But given Daniel's many, many credentials for the role, both on the Montessori side and the public California side, we pulled back 12% instead of the full 15. So there's a slight increase in adjustment to, and then also with the transition period. So that's kind of some of the explanation about how we got on that number. And then the other aspect of it is that for a head of school, that number for next year's salary is actually lower than our current role of head of school for this year, just to be also transparent about that. So any questions? I haven't made a motion yet. Any questions about the contract or any comments?
I don't have any questions. I would like to say that I'm super, super excited to have Daniel as our head of school.
I generally second that. Being such a short time in a board member seat, I can see just how much you have infused and will continue to infuse your commitment and just deep expertise in this community.
I'm very excited for you, Daniel. I'm excited for the school, and I'm grateful. Mm-hmm. Thank you to you and your family for being willing to serve in that capacity.
All of you want to support. I felt very supported in the process.
Any other comment? Not required. Anyone else? All right, I'm going to make a motion that the board approve this employment contract that I laid out.
Second.
All right, and I'm going to call the roll as soon as I, yes, get to it. Amy, how do you vote? Evan, how do you vote?
Yes.
Kara?
Yes.
Anne?
Yes.
This is Greg. I vote yes. It is unanimous. We have a new head of school. Congratulations. It's done. Yay. Okay. Well, with that, we can move on the agenda.
Next up on the agenda is the head of school report.
It's almost ready. I realized I had like a data error. Like, no, fix it quick.
10 seconds. You got it.
Pretty timer.
Fix it.
Sure. Do you have the slides
the old version up, or are you going to put it up somewhere?
No. You can just talk.
You pulled the actual slides from the first slide. I'm going to say your slide.
It's not on the agenda.
Not on the agenda yet.
It'd be in documents, probably. Yeah, it's not, though. Yeah.
Fixing the one that
wasn't there. Recent and upcoming events, the auction, the online auction started last Friday. We'll talk more about the Friday event in a second, but that online auction goes until the 29th of March, which is next Friday. Spring break is the week after that.
Yes.
Well, starting that Friday through April 7th. At the end of April and the beginning of May, we have our state SBAC testing. Those days and every other day leading up to that. May 3rd, we have classroom placements for Rising K and third grade that gets shared with families. So we have go through a whole process of meetings where teachers get together and place students that are going into the next level in a very deliberate way. And then families will know what the results of that is on May 3rd. May 27th, no school in honor of Memorial Day, and May 31st, last day of school, is in May this year. And so that day is the minimum day dismissal. Am I not speaking loud enough?
No, I think you're doing fine. I'm just making sure.
So last Friday, we had our family game night and auction kickoff.
Can you see how many people?
It was easily the most well-attended event since we've been on this campus.
Yeah.
So huge appreciations to our back for organizing that. It made us realize if we're going to have events like this, we're going to need better PA systems to be able to speak to that many people. But
Pizza helps.
You know, we had kids leading up, like, for the whole week leading up, like, is that today? We had a few this week that are like, when's that game night? It's like, oh, I'm sorry, it was last week.
I got it in the docs.
Okay, you want to take over?
Oh, I don't care, you can keep going.
You're the head of school.
Yep. yeah, I was really, really excited to see so many families here and students here. So I hope we can keep having events like that. Thanks to the FAC for putting that on. It was really fun. Was everybody there? It was a lot.
It was a lot.
On the roof. That wasn't our kids, fortunately. It had nothing to do with our event. Just something that happens, but it was like there were things happening everywhere. It was really great. So a couple of things. We always have like attendance and enrollment in here. So I actually put a proper attendance sort of kick in here because it's something we've been talking about and thinking about as a school. My general thing is schools across California, really across the nation, have been really struggling with attendance since COVID.
post-COVID, so during and after. And if you understand how schools are funded, that impacts a lot of things, but really, like, more importantly, like, pre-COVID schools were generally planning on 95% to 97%. I think we were usually 94.5% to 95% here. This year we're averaging around 90% attendance for our whole school, and which is a little higher than OUSD, which is at like 89% right now, I think.
I think that's what we said this morning.
Yeah. And then just a little FYI on how that, like, impacts dollar, actual dollars is 1% higher. The difference between 90% and 91% is $40,000 of revenue. Like, we've known that this is a struggle and an issue for a long time, and it's not unique to us, but it's just something we're talking about. It's also the number one correlator of student achievement and high school graduation rates. You can go and check in on that. So we're just continuing to, like, figure out how to, like, exploring, like, how do we better engage, like, families on that. That might be something that we've talked to FAC about sometimes, off and on over the years that I've been here, but it's an ongoing struggle. And there's, like, the legal requirements of sending, like, we're legally required to send, like, notices. And when those notices go out, automatically we get really angry responses a lot of the time. And it's, like, so it's been a challenging thing to figure out how to, like, engage families with, if, like, they feel, like, shamed by the required legal thing. And we try to adjust the language to be supportive and kind, and when we write messages in our comms that are specific to attendance, we usually get it's not everybody, right, but we always get a negative, like, an upset response about using that messaging. And so just an ongoing wondering, and thought it worth, like, bringing up here as a space to just pose it publicly again, like, what are the ways in which maybe we can creatively think about engaging communities moving forward in next year, as we move into next year, on attendance. I don't mean any answers today. I just kind of wanted to throw it out there. So, like, this is something we've been working on and doing a lot of different things internally to support, particularly chronic absenteeism. But that's not the issue is broader than just chronic absenteeism. So a bit about enrollment. These are the slides I had to just adjust because I had metric data issues. We're currently accepting. We've been talking about this every month. We ran our lottery. Just a little, I think, repeat info is, like, Oakland enrolls. That's the shared application system for Oakland. Most Oakland charter schools had a general decrease of applications across all schools of about 12%. So it is it's another rough enrollment year, friends. We made offers in every single grade earlier this month, and families technically have till midnight tonight to accept or deny offers. So we don't have We'll have better data tomorrow, is what that means. It's slightly annoying. It's our timing on this. So, but I do have the data from today, which is the offers that have been accepted and the offers that are open in every grade, with an estimated total, like, that includes intent of returns and an estimate based on our percentage of acceptances we've been getting so far, right? So, like, we've been getting about a 50-50 accept deny rate. So there's an assumption of about 50%. It only really shows in TK, because these all include existing intent to return data. But in TK, since every student is new, with our initial round of offers, we're anticipating having around 40 kids tomorrow, or, you know, within the next couple of days. We've gotten about a 50% acceptance rate on the offers we've made. It could be better. All 19 of those folks could accept at the last minute. They probably won't. We're still getting applications in every day or every week, and we get a couple every time. And then those offers are being made where there's space on the spot immediately. So our enrollment team essentially looks at it twice a day, checks applications, and shoots out offers based on people who turn down an offer. And if there's a wait list, then we're making the next offer as soon as one is denied. So this is still a relatively imaginary, like, number. Just to be clear, we don't know what we'll get. It could be lower than that. It could be higher than that. We had a lot of time before the first day of school. We know that we will continue to get applications. So the best bet of the people who accepted already, like, these are pretty sure, like, these people will probably come, most of them. And then it's a little rarer from that point forward. Because even those who accept and complete their enrollment, it's not, we don't really know until they're in their seats, until they're here, and maybe the warm body counts on those first days. If we were able to get to 375 as a school, that'd be great.
And that's an increase of like 25 students?
We have about 353 right now. So. 350, yeah. Other schools are not, like, even if we show, like, to be completely transparent, like, if we grow a little, even less than that, we'll be doing better than most schools. Most schools can't show that they've grown from one year to the next at all, and most of them have declined from one year to the next. And we're not the only one. There are other schools that are, like, managing to grow a little. So, like, we'll definitely, like, have to, as we get more data to integrate it into finance, is mostly where that information goes and impacts. And so the more info we have, the more we can fine-tune and specify our budget plans.
And we have another giant tour tomorrow.
We do have a giant tour, and a bunch of people on that tour are in those open offers and asked for extensions. Like, we did shoot emails out right away and, like, schedule specific tours to be like, do you have an offer out? We emailed in the grades where we made an offer to 100% of people who had applied, and we notified those people before they got notified from other schools that, like, you know, you're receiving this email because you will be getting an offer, and we've made an offer to every application in your grade you applied for. And, like, there were more offers made today. Like, a sibling popped up on the, somebody got in one place, sibling pops, and then we get to the top of the wait list, and we like more offers put out. So this was sort of end of the work day today. Tomorrow morning, it'll look different.
Yeah, so it sounds like there are some grades where you have to be more, day by day. You don't want to offer too much because you don't want to bubble yourself. But there must be some on the other end of the spectrum where you're like, I've offered them all because we can't have too many of that. Am I understanding that correctly, that dynamic? So it is grade by grade.
It's grade by grade.
Okay.
But most of the grades have no waitlist already. Like, we made offers in a lot of grades. That's not unusual to, like, not have a lot, because it's usually like TKK. So K has a big waitlist.
Right. K has.
But I can't over-offer past a certain point.
Right, because you'll have too many first graders the following year.
Because it'll impact, and that impacts you for a very long time in a lot of very complicated ways.
Right.
There's some similar concern in six, over offering in six. So we have, because, like, you know, though we can over offer a certain amount, we will over offer quite a bit. Like, we just have to watch the seventh grade numbers. It's like, at what point will we need another teacher? But it also depends on eighth grade numbers. So if eighth grade numbers stay low, maybe it's plausible to go bigger in.
Yeah, that one doesn't strike me nearly as much of as.
Yeah, it's not as big of a deal as K, because in general, over-offering four and up is going to be safer because the bubble it lands differently.
Well, particularly, these are like next year's sixth graders are in the same classrooms as that smaller fourth grade.
Yeah, and that's this year's third grade is tiny, is what that is.
Right, so I'm just saying you're going to have room in sixth grade, and then you'll definitely have room in middle school. Or could easily grow it.
Mm-hmm. So we're just balancing those offers and numbers right now, and we'll have an opportunity to put more offers out.
The 375, that all aligns with the enrollment year over year limits within the chart, like within the MOU. Like, I think it was 10% overall and 25% per grade level.
No, currently, yes.
Yes,
we're very openly potentially going to material revision for a TK bump.
Okay.
And, like,
if that's where you get.
If we have to do a material revision in addition to the charter renewal, which is a big question mark, right? We might be able to just include any changes in numbers in charter renewal. But, like, if we were actually going to get what we want in TK, which is question marky, like, I want 56, I think that is a material revision.
Okay.
And it's possible if we went 56 and K as material revision, but it's based on growth of TK, which is state mandated. And so it's a fairly, those would be the only two grades. And we're going to likely stay within the percentage for the whole school. It'll be close.
Okay.
And I recognize there, I believe there's a time and place to go ahead and go for that material revision in order to shore up the enrollment. And so, like, I have done that specific material revision several times now, and I'm sort of like, if we can get those kids, we should go for the revision.
Okay.
I think. It's a risk. They can say no. I guess, though it's a hard one to say no to if you have kids' bodies and seats, right? But we're not there yet. None of these numbers were approved. Maybe that kindergartens look good. We have to look at what we have this year. It's high this year too, a little bit. No, it's not high this year, so it might be. It's going to be, I'll have to look at the last approved numbers. But we did look at all of that before making offers. I just don't have that number in my brain. That's all in my head.
Someone sent me the like best in Oakland survey, and I added Montessori as one of the best public elementary.
Sweet.
Anyone else wants to vote?
Okay, cool. I got word that
that's true.
My husband ran into somebody in a totally different city where we live in El Cerrito and said that I worked here, and they're like, oh, everybody wants to go there. And he's like, this is the first time anybody's name recognized. They go to Montessori Family School in private Montessori Elementary in El Cerrito. Mm-hmm. I was like, fascinating. Name's getting out there. But yes, vote. That sounds great. So some staffing updates. We are currently looking for a support teacher for California Poppy classroom. We extended an offer yesterday. We have quite a few applications as well. So just a little update on that, looking for folks for next year. We are confirmed looking for one lead teacher currently and an administrator given today's vote. Question mark of the title of that particular position at this moment, which is sort of not ready for public discussion and the figuring out what the best org chart for the next team will be. I think that's all we got. Any questions about the website report?
Any more questions? We peppered them. Thanks for sharing about the enrollment numbers. Definitely fascinating. It is exciting that the idea of growing by 25 kids in this era sounds pretty amazing.
So if there are no more questions about the head of school report, we'll go on to the LCAP. I'm sorry.
It's not, I should have put it, I usually put it in my slot, but we've been in meeting since 10:30 this morning. That's why the last minute upload. It's LCAP season. This is the time of year where we start developing our LCAP, which is a goal setting tool aligned with specific funding streams that are linked to students who are called unduplicated students. So that's English language learners, socioeconomically disadvantaged students, and homeless foster youth. So it specifically pulls out funds that usually amount to about $260,000 of our full budget that we then set specific goals on how to support those students. It's a three-year cycle. This is a brand new cycle. So we're completing a three-year cycle, and it gives us the opportunity to write completely new goals and actions and to like fine tune it. I think our goal over many years has just been to have it be continually try to make it a more and more useful tool. It is a compliance tool that's required, and it's always this balance of like, how are we actually using this to inform and support our work. And so this is a new cycle. If you were to open it, the document right now, it's a highly draft forms. And I think between this month and next month, we'll share some specific goal and action plans that are still in early stages, but that we'll have more specifics to share with you on that. We have to have at least one goal. We can have more if we want. So that's part of we're just in the early development stages of that, which includes looking at our successes and metrics from the last round, which we brought some updates on that in January.
will be fairly similar. Next up updates that will come next month or May. It's like we'll look at it. We'll look at it in every meeting for until June. So if you're interested, talk to me more offline or ask a question now.
There's a lot of moving parts right now in like the agenda item right after this one, the LCAP, an incoming head of school, right? You just said like hiring for another admin position, but haven't quite figured out the role, you know, because there's just a lot of stuff to figure out. Is it the hope that the LCAP will be a glue or I don't know, you know, like an umbrella type of document and aligned in that way, or will it just end up being its own thing for those unduplicated resources?
I think we'd like to have bigger goals that are glue, but
it's always the hope.
And we have to specify the actions for those for unduplicated, but most of the actions I think historically we're taking are things that when you're like supporting, it's the MTSS design thing, right? Like if you're supporting both ends, you're hitting all the kids. All right. So like the supports that are put in place, even when they're specifically targeted for certain groups, statistically are supporting many students. And so there's different ways that can show up. If we're doing pull out for a specific subgroup like that might only support, you know, English language learners, doing direct pull out of students who have a one or two on their LPAC is really specifically for that subgroup. But a lot of the actions that would be put in place are, you know, definitely doing more than just supporting unduplicated students. And I think it's always just a learning process of how to like write those goals so that they feel meaningful and useful.
Who gets to weigh in on LCAF and when?
Everybody can weigh in. We love to hear people's feedback on what they think we should be working on at meetings like this. So, and at academic committee, it's agendized on every single meeting. We will talk. We also talk to staff about it at staff meetings typically and school leadership team. And we invite folks to comment directly on the document, to reach out to us in whatever way works for them, attend meetings, ask questions if you like, but you don't need to come to the meeting. You can send us a message. You can comment directly on the doc. You can ask for a meeting. All of those things are available.
How can we help?
Well, as we draft some of those goals, I think it'll be a little bit more meaningful to like hear, just get the questions that pop up based on what we get in there, what we draft up right now. It's a little, it's in such an early stage that it's a little pre-conversation at this point. So
do you think that, based off of where we are with renewal, spending more time with staff, looking at data, having that kind of be aligned with a lot of the work that the SLT has been working on this year, that it is already starting to become like a larger glue kind of thing that you were talking about. And I think that in continuing that development, it'll be clearer to staff as we work out with these goals, like, oh, these are all the things that we're currently like focused on and working towards already. So I think that it will be something that becomes more relevant.
Mm-hmm. It's not the nicest format to look at. So it can be hard even when we do our best to make those connections for people, even our staff, to see the connection, because it looks like a federal, like a state compliance document, which it is. Mm-hmm.
But even outside of the document, like the things that we're looking at,
yeah,
that we're reading the documents are things that we're doing, we're spending more time looking at as a staff.
Any other questions? Then we'll move on to the next item, which is,
knowing that it's a compliance document, I'm just curious, historically, how has ACOE engaged in it? In any shape or form.
We do submit it to the county. I've never received any questions or comments.
Within 5 days of it being approved. That's like one of the rules.
Yeah, there's clear rules around approval and submission. I've never gotten any questions or responses to the LCAP in my 6 years?
I believe they agendize all of them themselves and also approve them.
That's quite possible. But yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if they flag us for that. I don't think so.
Maybe not. Maybe it's just the ones.
It might just be, and it might just be, like, I know that they do have procedures for offering additional support and, like, targeted support. So I see that as a, like, they're not seeing any major flags or concerns in ours. And I know that they have, like, support that they do offer if needed. In creation of those, but we haven't gotten for that. They'll ask questions. They reach out about other things. We submit many, many, many things to the county, right? They have pretty, there's oversight documents every month, and sometimes they're like, we need some clarification on this piece, and we resubmit. So that happens, but it's never happened on the LCAP. So.
Any other questions? Then we'll move on to the next item, which is the proposal for improvement and development between 6 and 07. Charter renewal and proposal for improvement and development at UMCS.
So for charter renewal, we're in renewal season. In finance day, we talked about how the state based currently, can I talk about one nuances of that?
Sure.
We're currently in the low track based off of our California dashboard. There's a whole formula that's really hard to wrap your head around on how you get there. And it's a little unclear in spaces. In that low track, you're only able to go up for a 2-year renewal. And you're in a category of presumed non-renewal. And you can be renewed for 2 years, given if you have a plan to address the data and that the work feels like it's valid things. One thing that is happening is that we feel like we were not put in the right track. The dashboard doesn't show our English language learner progress. And if it did show our English language learner progress, then we would be in that middle track based off of our data, we believe. So that is an avenue that we're currently pursuing in the right track. And right, all the data that does exist is real, and all stuff that we've been looking at and stuff that we've been addressing and making plans for, right? And so even given our last round of NWA data that we talked about in academic, there's lots of steps that we're taking to really, while still maintaining our Montessori integrity, how do we really prepare students for these tests, right? And a lot of times it's around seeing these questions. You do see that in 7th and 8th grade when the teaching more matches closely to what you see on the test, our scores do go way up according to our SPAC last year and in previous years. So we feel that even if we aren't put in that medium track based off of our data, that we're putting all those steps in place currently already to address all those things that are needed. Teachers are getting together every week for kind of data sessions around like what's the data that they're collecting in their classrooms, like what kind of diagnostics have we given to our students, and then adjusting what kind of lessons that we're going to give based off of that, and then what kind of practice we're going to do based off of that. It was really interesting because it's small things like I was doing a SPAC performance task with 7th grade, and it was about it was like paint in the room. And the way the room was drawn on the paper was throwing off students around, like, from this picture, I can't tell that it's a rectangular ceiling, right? And like that kind of like connection piece. And like, once we established how to look at this diagram then they could do all the things, right? So like that kind of small thing of like just even experience of seeing these types of questions has been enlightening for teachers. That's part of the discussion we're having in our meetings every week of like, oh, I noticed that there's this like small language thing. It's like, great, we all need to adjust that language thing. So in terms of renewal, we feel like we're already making all the steps that are required in that low track and feel pretty comfortable that come renewal time that we'll be able to present a pretty robust plan for NIP that we've started already in the spring or even before the spring and moving into next year and the and a possible second, third year. Renewal and
Proposal for improvement and development.
Should I pause there to talk about renewal? If there's any questions.
What's the renewal submission timeline?
They tell us when to submit. It can be any. Oh, go ahead.
They tell us when to submit. When the county was here, was it in November, October? They weren't sure. They were talking about probably having this on the earlier end.
August. At the earliest.
At the earliest, but they were also like, oh, but I could see a thing where they kind of went through the middle or towards the end also, but so it's we've reached out to them to tell them that we want to be earlier rather than later. They know that.
You have a meeting with them at the end of April.
One add on to that for the board is that we will have to approve our own charter prior to submitting to the county. Mm-hmm. So, and we don't regularly meet in July. Mm-hmm. So we can take that action at a special meeting if needed, but like if we don't approve it in June and we want it and they want us to submit in early August, that probably means we'll end up having to do a special meeting.
Yeah, it might be ready in June, I think. I think there's a good chance that the actual charter position, right?
Okay. It's fine. It's not a problem having a special meeting. I just wanted to let folks know. It's. I think it's almost always been one in all the prior years. Or it's always, it's net, like the timing meeting. Wise, it's, okay, so just always been a special meeting.
But yeah, you do a hearing and then the next month it's a vote. Mm-hmm. But we would approve everything prior. We have to approve it all prior to submission. So if they want us to submit mid-July for like an August hearing and then a September vote, then we would be trying to approve it at our June meeting or scheduling a special meeting early July. Like all of those things are possible. So just being prepped for just depending on, because we're not in total control. So like a legal team like needs an extra week and it's not going to be ready for the board meeting, then we'll be having a special meeting.
What sort of, just because I got a random email to my board account from a prospective parent, what sort of parental collaboration ask will there be?
Yeah, I think there's definitely going to be some sort of current deal which things like people can do in the meantime is the easiest one is send your kids to school, right? That's the biggest one, right? If you're here more, that increase our attendance. If you increase our attendance, then you're going to be a part of more of those lessons, especially leading up to our stage dancing. And like, that's the most helpful thing that people can do right now as we get closer to actual going up to the county, then we'll definitely. Most important thing is send your kids to school. Yeah. Most important thing, send your kids to school. Unless they're really sick.
Questions on renewal? And moving on to the second part of that item, which is the proposal for improvements.
Yes, in terms of the, we've looked at that document and have discussed that. That came up in finance today. And as a next step, there was an ask and something we're going to be doing is putting that into the budget in terms of what are the budget implications. So like what will be the amount that we do want to invest in a position that we think will be part of improving these things that need the data points that we need to improve in terms of looking at readable data backup. So that's kind of the next step right now. I think I still believe that that's a position that's needed for the future, but we're also looking at what are the other investments that we might want to make to really address specific data pieces in our network.
Well, just one of the things that Finance Committee discussed was the idea, just the frame of, we don't need to get non-renewed with like $1.5 million in the bank. That is not a desirable position. Like if it takes extra investment, because that's what the school needs to move the needle for across what we care most about, plus what is included in the dashboard and everything else, like that the Finance Committee was saying, no time like the present to make those investments and bring us the plans, and that the Finance Committee wasn't like nervous about quote unquote overspending for a certain specific time frame, but just wanted to see what did it all look like, bring us the picture, bring us the scenario or scenarios, and over time.
Any other questions or comments? Proposal from Verda? And move on to the next item, which is the Family Advisory Council.
Anne. All right, Anne, go for it.
Hi. All right. So I see that Emily is there. So I was just going to say, if there's anything you'd like to add, Emily, to, as folks referenced, with the game night, Marcella and the leadership team has really reinvigorated the FAC. There's a lot of energy and gathering, and it's really awesome. The auction is going really strong, and it's going to go strong for another week, as Daniel mentioned. And the community has really come together too with donations, which is cool. So then during spring break, I know one of the events is Left Coast Power Yoga has a capoeira camp. And then also we have the plant sale coming up on April 20th, and we're going to be asking for volunteers and donations soon for that. Are there any additions or discussion items that folks want to talk about?
I have here a campus work day potentially on May 11th. I don't know if that was approved.
That what Jillian is organizing?
I'm just seeing this in some notes from Sarah, but maybe we'll take that one away because I was, did we talk about that? It was ahead of the move-a-thon. So we should probably get that on the calendar. I can do that. So yeah, I would want to figure out what are the tasks there. We were gathering ideas. And if there was anything for move-a-thon around painting and prep and all of that, because it'd be the week before. The parents' night out on 5/4, we have a poster to get the notice out for that when it's time. And yeah, move-a-thon. So excited. Yeah, hopefully we carry over some of the energy from the auction night. Couple of notes on the auction. On the auction night, it was great to have everybody there. They were able to get a sponsor that helped pay for the event supplies. So that was really great, and maybe we could do more of that with maybe more, I don't know, giving them credit. I think it was on the flyers, the Red Oak Realty, Alex. But so that's a good to be able to do that. But RSVPing was tricky, and we didn't have, we had to like order last minute pizza. So maybe plan for more of a demand than we have been used to. And then audio. Yeah, we need to figure that out.
Commissioner, you said there was a different.
There's a whole different.
somebody donated a really nice, different nice PA system this year, and we did, that was not what got set up. I think it's a little bit, it's more professional and it's easier to set this one up, but like, pretty sure Buck and I both know how to set up the other one too.
Mm-hmm. We'll probably want that in place for the room.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah.
Those speakers are cool, like for outdoor, like for music and stuff, because they connect and you can have multiple ones across the yard and do music. And stuff like
that. Yeah, music would be fine, but no time.
But yeah,
anything underneath
that. I know. My kid made fun of me. He's like, "No, what? What were you doing up there?"
I think that not acoustically that that room, if people are talking in there, it doesn't. It, I don't know that it'll matter what PA system you have.
Yeah.
Because of the acoustics of that room. If you're in a quiet, if it was a stage show and everybody was sitting in seats quietly, it would have been fine. Well, you need to like loud events like that. Like it's not a good space for public speaking. For public speak out, so it's almost better outside.
Yeah,
and that was one of the things that Lana said about the event was that it was kind of a confusing event in terms of what it was. Like they were kind of. Like it was, people had a blast, but it was very kind of confusing about whether it was like public speaking with the bingo versus game. Like it was a little.
There was a lot going on.
Yes.
Yeah, it was really fun. I think there's learnings for running an event that big and having better like clarity. A lot of people try to walk out the back door and lock themselves out. People lock themselves out on the yard.
Oh.
You know, like thinking that spaces were available, but nothing serious. It's just like. Things to think about for next time. Like if we're gonna, I hope we'll have lots of big events like that. It was great.
Yeah, those are it.
It's almost like a sidewalk.
Yeah, we for the plant sale. I guess I'll also notice. You know, we distributed distributed plant seeds and planting. You know, soil and containers to the classroom. So. We'll check on those and see how teachers are doing if they need some support with that.
I asked my daughter told me about planting seeds. I'm like, oh, it's for the plant sale. She's like, no, it's for Earth Day. So there might have been some seeds lost, and it's for Earth Day.
Yeah. Same date to bring them back.
I'm gonna grow soon. Mm-hmm. Other people would be important. Our house kids are like, oh, I'm taking this home.
Yeah,
we'll see how many actually come. But pretty cool that Lori has a bunch of seeds that she's got gathered. And so we might do an extra like plant kit if we don't have enough like other plants. But she's also been propagating a bunch of stuff. So we should be good.
And did you have something else?
Oh, no, that's what I was going to mention. The planting in the classroom.
Any other comments or questions about the FAC?
No, congratulations, Daniel. Look forward to working with you.
In that case, we'll move on to academic oversight, which is me. We met right before this meeting and went over some of the NWA data from the spring. We also reviewed a couple policies which are on the consent report. We're going to pull the independent study policy from the consent report and review it again next month. It was too much for us for today.
Just the other two policies were completed and recommended for approval on ladder.
Is someone on the roof again?
No, you can't feel them on the roof in here. That's just somebody hitting the wall.
We're opening the door. It's probably just Marcos opening the boiler room doors.
Slightly unusual noise for both of you on Zoom.
The two policies we went over NWA, we talked about
renewal.
The same information that Daniel presented about the tier that we're in for renewal. Any questions about a very brief report, most of which was covered in the head of school report? In that case, we'll move on to executive governance. Ms. Craig.
We met We reviewed some policies that are on the, in addition to the LCAP, the board bylaws and the board book, which are on for general consent. One of the things that came up in the review of the board bylaws is that in our existing bylaws, we tell ourselves that we have the authority to name alternates to our committee members, specifically in the instance where a committee's quorum, you wouldn't be able to have quorum, and you could then, the chair could call on the alternate and it would account for quorum. That's existing in our bylaws, and we have not been leveraging that whatsoever. So in a moment, I thought we might name some of us as alternates. That might help chairs proceed with quorum. And there don't seem to, our bylaws do not limit how many alternates we can name. But I don't want to I don't want to name everybody to every committee, you know, not quite. I don't want to go that far, but something. I don't want to be too, I don't want to be shady, but yeah. But I do, but just there have been plenty of times, right, where someone can't make it, and then could someone else come, and can we keep the work moving forward? And it also would might, you know, that's another way to kind of get connected to a committee maybe you're not already involved in. So that was one thing. And we, this item is always agendized as a vote, so we can make those sorts of motions and take those sorts of affirmative actions for those sorts of things, or like our board officer roles or committee membership. We also just went over, since Evan's on the committee, we kind of checked in just like about welcoming to the board and onboarding and training. And we went over some of those resources that had been shared. And then a general reminder for all the board and admin that all of our forms 700 are due April 1st, wet signature. So still time. And sometimes some people put them in the lockbox out front. And I happen to notice that this is kind of an aside, but the lockbox, it looks full, looks kind of stuffed. So just heads up. I don't know if Buck or Rosie, I think, has the key. Yeah. Maybe Iris. If they know what they're doing, hopefully it's Iris. Iris or Lori. Yeah, which is great. That's a key. Don't pass that key on to Daniel. Yeah. We talked about the head of school's evaluation process, and the other thing, I'm not sure if we talked about it or not, but I'll just say it now. We need to also, as a board, do our annual board assessment, which is also powered by Board on Track. So I will just briefly connect with Sarah about that, but I will likely send that out soon. In fact, the sooner, if I send that one out, you can do that one before you have to do Krishna's. But be on the lookout for board assessment, and then also the eval assessment on Krishna. Both are through Board on Track. And again, there, particularly the first time through, there might be items where you're like, I think we're a 1 out of 5 on that. I think we're a 5. It's totally fine. We're not looking to, whatever is your truth is the number we want for sure. And it's also sometimes confusing if the question is asking, like, how do you think you're doing versus how do you think the board is doing? So again, I just encourage you to do your best. If you think the board has the capacity and that's how the question works for you, you can answer that way. If you think it's about you as an individual board member, then answer that way.
Can you put a reminder on how the board assessment
gets utilized? So in the past, it gets discussed at executive, and then a summary kind of gets up to all of us. It can inform all sorts of stuff. Krishna gets to do it too. We could let Daniel do it too. It can identify areas where the board wants training, and so in the past we have scheduled certain trainings. It can identify where the board thinks, hey, things are going really well, and like, let's move on and move quickly. Oh, there are also things on there that we as a board have, at least in the past, have just deprioritized and said, it's on the instrument, but it's not that important to us. So we give an answer, but we're not too concerned about it. So it can kind of help people realize of all the things a board might be good at, what are some things we're not focused on right now? And it can help identify, oh no, coming, you know, next year, we really want to get better at this area. So that's, it's all up to us though, to discuss it and decide what we want. Yeah. It's a pretty generic tool. Yeah. I think that's plenty for the committee report. Any questions or public comments for executive team?
The board assessment, should we target like April 1st to get that?
I will do my best to get the board assessment out well before April 1st. That should not take long. And so if that's the case, I think it'll take you 20 minutes. So yeah, by I would say by the end of our spring break, you know, the beginning of the second full week of April, that would be great. Cause then we could look at it at executive and bring it back to the board, a summary back to the board in April. The head of school one takes a little longer and it doesn't get unlocked until she does hers first. So we're waiting on her.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's all good. We'll get it done.
Any other questions or comments? Then we'll move on to other business, California and Oakland updates.
We discussed about the renewal tiers being released. Nothing is popping off for me, though I admit that I have watched fewer OUSD board meetings so far in March than I normally do. So I'm not saying there wasn't like really important stuff going on. I just am not immediately aware. I've been watching board meetings from other cities. Yes, I have been. Yeah, it's part of my homework. It's been great fun.
Then move on to approving the board minutes from February.
Who shall make a motion?
Second.
Oh, and you're
two. I can't hear. Okay.
Amy got it, but you can stay ready, and we got you on in a moment. Okay, I will call the roll. Amy. Anne.
Aye.
Evan? I vote yes. Kara?
Yeah.
All right. We have approved minutes. Was there any public comment on the minutes or any discussion?
Nope.
No. Okay. All right.
And then we move on to voting on the general consent report. Again, academic is pulling the independent study policy from that.
Okay, pulling independent study. The other one I want to pull, it's not ready, is the updated UMCS fiscal management and control policy. That one is not ready. And then I wanted to make a comment that finance, it is Krishna's recommendation that we approve the Paylocity contract. It's just above $15,000. 17.
And it's not gone through any
committee. It did not get agendized at finance. And so we have not reviewed it in more detail, but in my own person, I plan to vote yes, but if anyone wants to pull it for a separate conversation, we can. But I wanted to at least note that prior to any of that. So we have on there. So it's the financial reports, including the second interim report, the board bylaws, the board book, the English learner policy, the leave of absence policy, and the Paylocity contract. That is currently the general consent report.
Does anyone make a move to approve the consent report?
Motion.
I'll second it. And I will call the roll. Amy. Anne.
Yes.
Evan, I vote yes. Kara, all right. We have approved that, including your Paylocity contract.
And the financials are part of that too.
And the financials, yep. And the second interim.
Then we'll move on to collecting new business for future meetings. Does anyone have anything you think should be on the agenda for next month?
Not next month. I think May, FAC would like to discuss what could be potential budget for events in the new year to plan out what we could use that for. I think we'd come up with some ideas and like a proposal. But...
Mm-hmm. Were we going to talk about alternates?
Oh, did we forget to do that? Bah! We can go back. Let's do it. We didn't do it. My bad. Let's add a vote. Is anyone want to make a motion?
I move.
To what?
Name the alternates for the committee.
Okay. What do you want to, who do you want to put where?
I can make myself an alternate for governance.
Okay. Tara, alternate for governance. Love it. I could be an alternate for academic because that's the only one I'm not on. Okay. Evan, you want to be an alternate for something?
What's that?
Anything.
That doesn't matter. Okay.
Yeah.
Finance for academic, or if you like it.
Okay. I'll be an alternate for finance, actually. You guys make it sound cool and sexy.
That is exactly what it is. Thank you, Evan. And would you like to be named an alternate for governance or academic?
Please.
Academic?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to, and we'll leave our chair off for now. She's fine. So we have as a proposal that Tara would be named an alternate for governance. Greg would be an alternate for academic, Amy would be an alternate for finance, Evan would be an alternate for finance, and Amy would be an alternate, Anne would be an alternate for academic. So with all of that, so Evan, would you now like to make that motion that what we just discussed get approved?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Kara. Amy, how do you vote? Anne?
Yes.
Evan?
Yes.
I vote yes. Kara? All right. We have alternates. So I'll add that to our structure. So I don't know. You all should have access. I keep a document it's linked to on the spreadsheet that keeps our most recent, like as it changes sometimes month to month, like who are our board members. It's a spreadsheet and who's on what committee. So I'm going to add a column like what we're all alternates for. So if chairs need to reference it, it'll be there if you need to call on people. Okay.
And then so we're on to closing items. So adjourning at 6:53. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye, Anne.
Okay.